We were wondering, how do people that are blind actually experience the eclipse, and have they ever been able to?
We call it the light sound device. It takes light and measures the brightness of the light and converts it to an output sound.
We bought a planetary camera that will attach directly to the telescope, and then it goes out to a 50-inch monitor.
You know, it's really making my mind spin in a really good way to understand the level of creativity that it takes to adapt.
Eclipses are for everyone to see, or hear it, or whatever, just experience it in general. They can do it. It will just take a little bit of inventing and engineering to get to that point.
From the Outreach Department at the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Austin, Texas, this is A Sense of Texas. Here is your host, Emily Coleman.
Welcome to A Sense of Texas. On April 8th, Austin, Texas will fall within the zone of totality for a solar eclipse. In an effort to bring this experience to our students in a variety of ways, we've embarked upon partnerships to add sound devices and enhance the experience. In addition, CBS News was curious too and came by campus to find out more. And now for some eclipse facts brought to you by Jim Allen. Did you know a solar eclipse occurs when the sun, then moon, and the earth align? Did you know 7 minutes and 30 seconds is the longest duration for a total solar eclipse?
My name is Jim Allen. I'm the accessibility coordinator. I work over in information resources. And for the eclipse, I've been building light sound boxes and showing people how they work and working on getting the telescope set up so that we can take pictures of the eclipse and hopefully show it on a 50-inch monitor and a bunch of other things.
What does the moon do?
It blocks the sun.
It blocks the sun.
Makes a little bit of its light around it.
That's right.
My name is Allison Barilla. I'm an astronomer at Harvard University. At the time, I was thinking about lab accessibility. I manage the labs and telescopes that we use for undergraduate teaching. So I was trying to find ways to make sure our labs are accommodating all our students. And so I started having a conversation with her about, you know, tools for the blind. And she mentioned sonification. And so we were talking about the upcoming eclipse. We're taking students on a trip. And so that's kind of where we went from there. We were thinking about, how do we do this? How do we make it accessible?
So if I turn it on, the room brightness. And I guess Jim's gonna put a light over it. And as we get closer.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Okay, so bright sunlight.
It sounds like a clarinet.
Yeah. Sure. We call it the light sound device. It was developed in 2017. There was a great American solar eclipse happening that summer, and we were trying to think of a way to incorporate the blind and low vision community. So a collaborator and I, Wanda Diaz-Merced, who's a blind astronomer, kind of came up with this concept of building a portable device that's low cost to build. And distributing it across eclipse sites. So it essentially takes light and measures the brightness of the light and converts it to an output sound.
Hi, my name is Zachary Lane. I am 19 in high school, and today I was working on soldering with some others for the solar eclipse.
Okay, and do you remember what you were soldering?
It was, I forget the exact name of what it was called, but it was basically a box, a talking box of sorts, that could help blind or visually impaired people to see the lunar eclipse, or hear the lunar eclipse, I should say.
Now, have you ever been to an eclipse before?
Back, I think I was in eighth grade, we had like a little event where a few classrooms got together and basically watched the lunar eclipse with, like, you know, the old sunglasses you would wear and that sort of thing.
Oh.
Well, I do remember one thing that was, like, seeing a little bit of it, because, of course, at that time, I couldn't see as well. But as far as what I could see, I do remember seeing the black dot coming through, and it was quite interesting, honestly.
You're going to solder this part here. So put on the light.
So this part on these two things and not that one?
Yeah, just that this.
All right.
This one right here is the positive.
Yeah.
And you're going to try and solder it right to there.
All right.
Okay. And then come toward the edge. Right there. Beautiful.
I think it's stuck.
It's stuck. All right. So that's powered by. Perfect.
My name is Nicholas Gibbs. I'm in 11th grade. And today we were soldering equipment that Miss Allison from Harvard University, I guess, invented or something like that. And we soldered one of the pieces to go with it.
Wow. Now, what is this thing called that you were making?
Oh, it was a sound device. They showed us about it, and Mr. Jim Allen, he put his phone next to the box, and it would make a noise like a clarinet. And then when he put it farther, it sounded like a flute.
Have you ever been in an eclipse before?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
When? Tell me more.
8 years ago, me and my mom, when we first found out about the eclipse, we tried looking for those eclipse glasses, but they're all sold out, and so we had a makeshift with a cereal box and aluminum foil.
Oh. Do you have any advice for first-time eclipse viewers?
Don't look at the sun.
That's smart.
And now for some eclipse facts brought to you by Jim Allen. Did you know the speed of the moon as it moves across the sun is approximately 1,398 miles per hour?
My name is David Schechter. I am a reporter for CBS News and Stations, and I cover climate and environment.
I've got it. Now what do I do? How do I make it make noise?
Just turn on the power on. The oscillator is the thing with the little...
Okay.
The switch that the turning dial.
Got it.
Shows the picture.
What we wanted to differentiate our coverage of the eclipse. We were wondering, how do people that are blind actually experience the eclipse, and have they ever been able to? And so that was an interesting question. So the story has evolved, and the concept of really accessibility of science. So I've learned a lot. Like even yesterday, with Jim was showing us the kind of the caliper that has a braille code on it that was developed at MIT. There's only four dots there, but how do you get 10? You know, it's really making my mind spin in a really good way to understand the level of creativity that it takes to adapt and find ways to take in the information without your eyes.
Would you hope that because of this, there might be more?
I hope so, yeah. I think the concept of using sound, sonification, I think that's becoming a little more mainstream. I think there are lots of projects that are starting to be developed around that concept. And I think this and just these kind of inclusive events, with the eclipse coming through, like millions of people are going to experience the eclipse. And so I hope that a lot of, you know, kids get inspired by that.
How will you be experiencing the eclipse?
I will probably be staring up at the sky with eclipse glasses. I can't see it well, but I can see it decently well enough to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like the last eclipse we had, which wasn't a full one, I tilted my head at a certain angle to where I could see it, and I could see the little dot, which I could tell was the sun, was getting dimmer and brighter.
Just talking to Yuki and hearing her passion about science and how she would love to be in the space program, and whether that's actually going into space or creating adaptations that people who are blind could go to space. It's just really encouraging to hear somebody who's not focused on the fact that there'd be any limitation on her doing it. It's a matter of, you know, can we set up the adaptations so it can be done? So like, it's the concept that it's possible, not that it's impossible.
Why do you think it's important that blind and visually impaired can experience the eclipse?
Eclipses are wonderful things, and they don't happen very often. So the ability for a blind and visually impaired person to experience one is a very amazing opportunity. Eclipses are for everyone to see.
Thank you.
Do you know an infant or toddler in Texas who may have a vision problem?
They may qualify for free services. Support from a teacher of students with visual impairment may increase a child's success in school and life. Call 817-740-7530 to find out more. That's 817-740-7530.
Wishing everybody experiencing the eclipse on April 8th a celestial celebration. From the TSBVI Outreach Department and A Sense of Texas, I'm Emily Coleman. See you next time. Did you know? Each year, there are between 2 and 5 solar partial, annular, or total solar eclipses somewhere on our planet. Did you know? Wild and... How does the man in the moon cut his hair? Eclipse it!
This has been a presentation of the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired Outreach Department. If you have any questions or suggestions for topics to cover in future episodes, please contact us at podcast@tsbvi.edu.